Hello and welcome to Power of the Parent, the podcast. This series is a new format and we are going to be focusing on a different topic each week, bringing you three things you need to know about whatever that may be, mainly from an employer perspective. But of course, there's plenty of reframing that parents could do to benefit from the content as well. We will be covering everything from parental leave transitions, managing boundaries, what to do when your talent pipeline looks a bit dodgy, tips on gathering feedback, and things like establishing parental support networks. So, let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Power of the Parent, Three Things You Need to Know About. I've got multiple guests. Today I am joined by Kerry Gott and Sophia Gaznet, and Kerry is the person that I first approached. Kerry spent over a decade working at Hawksmoor, which you may have heard, small restaurant, first as the original HRD and eventually as the Chief Growth and Culture Officer. I saw an article that Kerry was quoted in talking about the hospitality industry and various views and beliefs held both personally and organisationally about women in the industry. So obviously that ticked lots of boxes for me. I knocked on her metaphorical DM door and we've chatted a few times since over message and calls about Kerry's path and the refreshing outlook from the Hawksmoor culture. Hawksmoor have a value that they welcome everybody, which they hold that healthy tension of being the right thing to do alongside the commercial impact, which is something really close to all of our hearts. And it was amongst lots of other things that Kerry's commented on that I was really interested to get her on the podcast and talk a little bit more about what this is all actually played out for, in what way, when you are a very senior leader in a business. Kerry's recently stepped away from Hawksmoor to tread a coaching and consulting path, but remains very close to the business and the hospitality industry in general. So Sophia is joining us too and is the current head of HR and one of Code Hospitality's most influential women in hospitality, and that was recognised in 2023 and 2024. Are we going for a hat trick anytime soon? But that is because of recognition for her ongoing campaign work for women's safety and gender equality in the industry. And I know that's something that is going to come out of the podcast today. And I'm sure there's loads of other things that they have going on. I know that there's loads of other things that they have going on in their incredibly busy lives. So I'm really grateful that you've both been able to join me today. So thank you so much, Kerry and Sophia. I'll give you what it is that we're going to talk about first of all. And it's three things that you need to know about culture. So the three things are going to be, one, it's all about hospitality. Two, it follows people home. And three, it needs to be protected. And I'm really excited to dive into all three of those. But as I alluded to, Kerry and Sophia and I have spoken before, and I know that there is a lovely story about how Sophia joined the Hawksmoor business. And I would love for us to just to start so people get to know a little bit about you two, your working relationship. And obviously we've got two people on the podcast. We want to pick up the different voices. So I'm going to hand over to you to introduce your story. Sophia, do you want to introduce us to how you joined Hawksmoor and what your situations were?
Yeah, so I've worked in hospitality for 25 years. I obviously started as a toddler. When I wanted to move into HR and I did it, I based my CIPD work about Hawksmoor because they were such great role models in how to look after people well. So I really seeked Kerry out to apply for this job and I was so excited when I got it. When I got it, I had just found out that I was pregnant. And I was panicking. I wasn't sure if I would be able to keep it because of previous experiences. So I was like, I'm good. I'm going to wait and see what happened. And then we were coming up and I was continuing to be pregnant. And we had this lovely breakfast where I met the whole team. And Kerry and I stayed afterwards. And she's like, so let's start mapping out your first few years and what are the priorities, etc. And I went pale. Then I went, kind of, what are you? I'm pregnant. And immediately I was like, I don't have to take the job. I appreciate that you need someone coming in right now and I'll be gone again in 6 months. I know that you can't say this, but I can stay where I am, go on my maternity leave and find you after. And Kerry said, absolutely not. You are definitely joining. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. Let's do a 6-month plan then and see what we can do on the impact there. And it was such a relief because it had cost me quite some anxiety turning down my dream job and also the opportunity to work with Kerry, being put at ease. And the support I was given to come into work was amazing. It was incredible. And yeah, that's how I just talk more.
Quite the roller coaster before you'd even stepped foot through.
Yeah.
If people aren't listening to this thinking, oh, where's Kerry now? I would love to come and work for somebody like that who's just going to get it and make me feel at ease when I'm announcing some fairly major life news. Just talk us through a little bit from your perspective as a leader hearing that. And obviously you were congratulatory and you're like, yes, of course. Like, why wouldn't you still come and work for us? It's lovely to hear. And also a little bit sad, if I'm honest, that we see that as, isn't that fantastic? Because we know that isn't everybody's reaction.
It's lovely to hear the story against fear. I've forgotten that team breakfast and then that tense moment at the end when I could feel that something wasn't quite right that you wanted to share with me. And for me, it's really an experience of paying things forward, because one, Sophia was brilliant and I wanted her to join. Two, obviously, when you're in that situation and you've offered something and you've got things in motion and you can feel that resistance, it is a bit of a shock. But when I was pregnant with my second child, I had a similar situation. I got a job, I was on temporary promotion covering someone else when I discovered I was pregnant. And I felt so nervous going to tell my boss. And he was just wonderful. He had four kids. And the first thing he said is, it's amazing. It's a child. It's more important than anything else. It's your family. And even now, it makes me feel emotional, actually, just having that response. So professionally, I always wanted to create somewhere where people could be open that they wanted a family, whether it's a woman or a man. It obviously it affects women particularly. And be open that they want to be ambitious in their careers. So when Sophia told me, I was a bit like, in what way? Like, you didn't notice that, but like, oh, wow, I'm going to have to do some thinking and some work and be flexible and creative. But I just wanted you to feel that it's an amazing thing that you're pregnant and you're having a family and it didn't affect things at all.
Yeah, no, that's
and
great.
And we did that creative work between us. And of course, not to mention the fact it's an HR interview and at the end I've offered you the job and you say, I don't have to give it to you, which we both know. Obviously, legally, I would have to, But we did that creative work between us. And then you have been at Hawksmoor for over 5 years?
No, it's nearly eight.
It's nearly eight years. And done such incredible work over that time. Joined, done the work, made it your own, had that ownership, had the autonomy, brought your personality to it. And that's the benefit for what? Like 3 to 6 months of being creative and working out how to cover things between us.
Yeah, it is a very lovely, heartwarming story. I can almost feel that moment of where you were hearing her news, Kerry, and thinking, this is my time. I get to give back now. I can really step into my own. I'm going to be that leader. And it is, and still now, 8 years on, I know that it would still be something that people end up soul searching for. And it's lovely to start from a place of hope. And as a very wise leader once told me, hope is not a strategy, but I think having hope goes a long way. Any podcast episode that starts from a story of hope and thinking a bit differently is one that's got me hooked anyway. So thank you for sharing your story. Let's dive into your three things. So the first up is, from a culture perspective, it's all about hospitality. Kerry, do you want to start us off here?
Yeah, and I think it really leads on actually, because it's responding as a leader, but it's responding as a human. And then continuing to pay it forward. And something I absolutely love about hospitality is that it's sometimes defined as the art of welcoming everyone and making them feel looked after. And that's all about understanding, seeing, connecting and valuing other people. Some very famous restaurateurs, Danny Meyer, Union Square, Unreasonable Hospitality is a book that came out more recently. Talk about 49% and 51%. And that's always been at the heart of Hawksmoor. I was there for 13 years, so this is going back 15 years ago. And it's something really great in hospitality. So 49% is what happens to you. So in a restaurant, you come in, you get your menu, a bit later you get your drinks ordered, all of that. And the hospitality is how you're made to feel through it. So emotional intelligence is at the heart of that. It's the ability to connect, to understand, to make someone feel seen. And we know that it creates loyalty, we know it creates affection, we know it creates enthusiasm for customers, and then it's exactly the same for people who work here. And it's something that was at the heart of how I trained HR at Hawksmoor and then with Sophia. So you have people who already have that mindset. 49% is what happens to you. Like your steps of service in a restaurant would be your steps of HR or the policies, the processes. But that's not what matters the most. What matters the most isn't what's in the policy, the process, or the paperwork. It's what's in the people. It's how you're made to feel, whether that feels genuine, whether it's Sophia telling me she was pregnant as she accepted the job and actually feeling valued in that moment, rather than it's just a checklist. And emotional intelligence is at the heart of that. And we know that hospitality has so many benefits. That emotional intelligence, that connection has so many benefits. So it's shown to be the key to happiness. So positive social interactions actually shown to produce oxytocin and endorphins, and they actually make us feel better. So if you feel seen and heard, you really do feel better. And it's something we can do for each other, and it's free. It's shown to be key to health. So the quality of our social connections have been found to be the single biggest determinant of our health, including our likelihood of dying in 10 years. It's unbelievable. And also social health. So for me, combating prejudice and loneliness. And it's shocking to me, we have a loneliness epidemic and it's affecting younger people, younger, more connected people more than older people. So 80% of 18 to 24 year olds report feeling lonely. Isn't that sad? And we know that it really benefits us economically. So belonging, I saw this stat on Tuesday, actually, at an event, but people who say they feel they belong, that's associated with a 56% increase in performance, 50% increase in retention. And we know it's related to customer service and profitability. We really see it in our industry. Culture is about hospitality. It's about how people feel, and it is good for people, but it also has all of these multiple benefits for businesses and society and economically as well. And for me, it's just about seeing people as individuals. That was always the heart of the philosophy at Hawksmoor when I joined. We see people as individuals. And parents is one aspect of that. And it's just thinking about people's whole lives. Some of the things we did when I joined, it was a very young company. I was the only working one. I wasn't that old. I was in my 30s, but I was like one of the oldest people there. And it's a very sociable industry. So Sophia will know, because Sophia's like a proper hospitality person, started working in bars. It's really sociable. And that sociability can be late nights and it's drinking. And for me, as more and more people started having families, just being aware that it's really nice to socialize, but it's nice to socialize with your kids and not have to pay for childcare and not have to worry about these things. So at that point, we started doing family party and we closed one of the restaurants. We had a bouncy castle in there. People could bring their kids and socialize with their kids and meet other people's kids. And then that can mean different things at different stages, but it's just about welcoming everyone. And for me, I'm very aware that when people work, we're taking them away from their families, particularly in hospitality. You know, it is nights, it is weekends, which sometimes is good for parents and sometimes it's not, depending on the flexibility they want. But actually, if your kids can come in, we've always given kids 50% off if you bring your family, and special months where they get special drinks and ice creams, all of that stuff. But they're made to feel really special and they're made to feel proud and part of where their parents work. And it makes such a big difference when you're not there that they know where you are and it's something meaningful to them.
I really love what you've just said there about helping the kids feel proud about where their parents work, because you do see so often, and the world of work is complex, isn't it? And so is parenting. I remember reading something when my girls were a little bit younger. I can't for the life of me remember where it was, but it was something about not demonizing work to your children, not putting it on them. And I think it was somebody wrote an article about a child wanting to be with their parents all the time. And the parent was saying, you don't want to come with me. Work's really boring. Like, why would you even want to do that? My parents used to say that to me if I ever said I wanted to go with them. And it wouldn't be something that I would have even second guessed saying to my kids as an encouragement to just go to school. It's far more fun at school. Don't grow up. It's a trap type thing. But actually the impact of saying something like, oh, you don't want to be at work with me, is immediately being like, work's rubbish. Why on earth would you want to work? Or sending a message of, I'm choosing to work in this really horrific, boring environment rather than do anything else. And of course, some of that's really deep, isn't it? And sometimes we just take it at surface value and that's fine. But it did make me think about, how do I talk about work and what I do? And how have I talked about it in the past? And what have I been around? Because it's so easy to fall into some of those conversations that are actually very unhelpful for us as well. Am I subconsciously telling myself that work's really boring? Well, I don't think that at all. I've loved my job.
So that kind of struck a chord when you said that. And if you could see us talking, I was smiling all the way through what you were describing there, because that feeling of inviting children in, having different kinds of socializing, and this is coming to very sharp focus for people with or without children or caring responsibilities, because of things like some people want to drink, some people don't. Some people don't feel safe to be out socializing at night. They would prefer to do something during the day. You've got lots of other different formats of celebrating and socializing to consider. But it's always been there. Whilst we might talk about it in a very different way now, that's not a new concept. That's something that you've had to flex around for a really long time, isn't it?
And I think kids are always curious about where you are. And it feels different for them if they know where you are when you're not there and they feel part of it. They get something out of it. And I think for businesses, there'll always be time in people's lives when they're thinking, don't want to stay in this job, I'm fed up, or I'm disgruntled about something. And actually how they go home and they talk to their partners and their family.
Yeah.
So how everyone feels about where you are, it makes a difference to people and their lives. And kids are part of their parents' lives. So they're part of work. And equally, when people are at work, they're also parents. And that's relevant too. So whether it's letting your kids come in or just being able to be open about having kids at work, sometimes it can seem, I think, that this stuff requires lots of policies and paperwork, big solutions, and sometimes it's very small. I started when I was the HR director on the HR team, and we're about 150 people. By the time I left, we were 13 restaurants across four countries, 1,250 people, and I was on the board overseeing that. Coming out of COVID and ramping up and opening in the US, I found myself flying to the US a lot with a child who was really struggling at school, going back at the time with caring responsibilities, like a relative I was caring for. All of these things that we're juggling, perimenopause, not realizing it, but affecting my sleep, all of this stuff and jet lag, and just being able to walk into a board meeting and say to my colleague Tim, oh, this has been my morning. I've spoken to my partner. This is what's going on at home. Just being able to be visible with that, that's all it takes. It's this stuff that it actually makes you feel better to feel seen. And that's all it takes. Just being able to say it and then go in and run a board meeting or run a shift. Or I'm sure Sophia's got loads of examples because you speak to lots of people about this.
I think one of the big things, because we always can take in our kids during half term, it's never been a question. It's just something that happened. And it's really lovely. And sometimes there's lots of kids running around in there. But we had this big support team day with like 50 people. And Will, our CEO, was talking about all the different things. Then I brought my son and my dog, who I always have with me. But it didn't even occur to me that this would be an issue. It was just like, I will bring my son. And it was great. And he sat there with his iPad and while they were going through finances and plans and stuff, and everyone was playing with him and making sure he was entertained. And like the general manager took him for a walk in the restaurant. I think the one thing is, oftentimes people think that work and life are super separate, but they interlink so much. And to be able to be comfortable about being yourself and bringing that full self with whatever the issue is makes such a big difference. When you are a parent, my son was, he's sick when he was little, and he had loads of allergies and asthma and all these things. And it was never an additional burden or anything that was blamed for me having to run and do all of these things that I had to do. It was just like, that's important. And you already have so much anxiety balancing thing with work and life. And it shouldn't sip into each other. That's not what I mean. We need work-life balance, but understanding that my life is important and work will accept that. It makes a huge difference.
I think it's a really lovely, like the way you two have talked about part of culture is all about hospitality is really making me, you can hear it in that it's not just about a paying customer. The hospitality starts at the source. And that is with how we look after our people. I really do think, and I work across lots of different industries, that as a concept, no matter what industry you're in, applies. And having that, how do we make this the most hospitable environment we possibly can? The whole we're a family here stuff is not for me at all. There's so many red flags with that as a concept. But this feels like the professional equivalent of, we want you to feel like we're part of your village, your support network, and that will mean different things to different people. And it feels so lovely to, I might apply for a job with Horsemore. It's so lovely to hear it brought to life in a really practical, no hot air kind of way, because you do see organisations talking like this, but then behind closed doors or not so closed doors, that it doesn't always actually play out like that. But from all of your metrics and the stories and anecdotes that people share that actually work for you, that this is true, this is exactly who we are. So I think that leads us nicely into your second point, which is that it follows people home, not in a weird way, but in a completely socially acceptable way. Sophia, you touched on it there about you don't suddenly step out of an office or the restaurant that you're working in and you leave everything at work there and vice versa. And I know for lots of people, this is a very nuanced topic. For lots of us, we might want to use work as an escape and we don't want to think about home, or vice versa. I think that this is more about the environment that you've been in is going to stay with you. How you feel at work will bleed out into the rest of your life. Kerry, do you want to talk us through what does that mean for Hawksmoor? How has that been navigated?
Yeah. Work makes such a big difference to people's lives. Most people spend most of their time at work, the majority of their days and hours with people who they work with, their colleagues, and particularly we know their managers make a really big difference to their lives, rather than their housemates or their partners or their kids. And so it's such a big part of our lives. It makes such a big contribution. And you're right, there it's definitely about how it makes you feel when you come home, not about taking work home. So we've always had the right to switch off, which is something that Sophia can talk about how we manage that. But yeah, that's a different thing, but certainly protecting that time, like not having to work when you get home and having work chat that supports that. But it's really about how you're treated at work, and the culture at work makes such a big difference. And to the point where it affects your lives again. So we were lucky, we were part of a Strathclyde University study coming out of COVID. They got some funding from the Scottish government and they were looking to companies that had great financial performance and great people practices to see what lessons they could apply to other companies to help them build back. And we were part of that, which was great. And something I really learned from them, from Colin Lindsay, the professor leading it, was that people in decent jobs, which is a UN definition, they're not only more engaged, more profitable, more motivated, they're also healthier and they live longer. I just find it amazing the impact that we have on people. The biggest difference and the smallest things, for me, it's like nurturing a culture of kindness. It makes the biggest difference. Something we talked about as a people promise at Hawksmoor was you get support if and when you need it. And I talk at my induction about three different levels of support. So the first one is personal. So it's in the manager's job description. Part of your role is to support the people who work for you. Another one's financial. So there's a range of financial benefits. And then there's professional. So we have employee assistance programs like Hospitality Actions, are a really good one in our industry. So people have access to support, and that includes a parenting helpline. And we have income insurance in place for everyone, which is really unusual in our industry. So we have these kind of big and small kindnesses. So these big things we do, and you know, you can think it's about the benefits or this sort of thing. But actually, when I speak to people, a management induction, I used to talk to people about managers, you make a big difference to people's lives, and how we nurture a culture of kindness and talk to people about the things that matter. And it's not the big things. I think that's peace of mind and it's security. And it's amazing when it's there, when something happens. But actually, it's my head chef said hello to me when they came in today. Head office example for me would be I'm back-to-back meetings and someone lovely like Sophia will bring me a cup of tea. They'll see that I haven't been able to eat. It's those small things that make a big difference. And we will know that one of the big enemies to people's well-being, but also their ability to be empathetic, which is for us is customer service, is how you relate as well as how you feel, is stress. So stress dampens our empathy. One of the biggest antidotes to that is kindness. It actually produces oxytocin. I have seen researchers call the kindness chemical, and it actually dampens stress. And again, it's something we can do, and we can do for each other, and it's free. And it's just about culture. But if you are a parent and you're at work and you're stressed, you come back and you shout at your partner and your kids. I've seen it. Stress is contagious. Kindness is contagious. It's like sneeze. You wouldn't sneeze in someone else's face, but you might go vent, and then it spreads it. So that culture follows you home. It follows you home and how you feel and how you show up when you get home. And also, I think that for me, that I've seen lots of things about how being a parent makes you better professionally. And I would agree with that. You learn so much from being a parent in all sorts of ways. Time management is a really big one. I'm sure we all agree with that. and other things like conflict management, budget management, project management, crisis management. If you've ever had to find something that a kid hasn't got and they've got to leave the school in 2 minutes, let alone all the health things. So you learn all of that stuff. For me, work made me a better parent and makes me a better parent. And I love that too. It's being positive about who we are and all these different parts that contribute towards that. Hawksmoor has a really big focus on management development, manager's coach. So understanding yourself to understand others, managing yourself to manage others. It's the emotional intelligence, like there is structure behind giving people the space to learn these skills and practice them, because we're not taught them in school. We don't come out knowing how to have a difficult conversation through. And that's certainly something that I really loved at Hawksmoor and ran with. And one of the first things you learn is people don't want advice. They want coaching. We now both coach, don't we, Charlotte? So it's led to what I do now. They want coaching. Actually, my experience is if you're in HR, sometimes they really want advice, but it's only who doesn't want advice, it's your kid. So all of the things that I learned and grew at work have also been very helpful as a parent. Contributing to people's lives at work makes a difference at home.
Yeah, you can feel that radiating out from you firsthand, as well as what you've obviously seen in your teams, Kerry. How about you, Sophia?
So even though Kerry and I don't work together anymore, Kerry is still my coach. Has been instrumental for my personal and professional development for 8 years. And it's helped so much in changing how to see things, because I personally am very good at giving advice. I'm great at it. And if I were to put myself in a category, I would do mentoring. But I love having the coaching element of finding these things, because one of the key things that stood out to me when I joined was what Kerry had done was to not care so much about what is the statutory requirement. It is the, what can we do? That is actually, it's just easy things that you can implement. So you were talking about the right to switch off, and hospitality is a 24/7 business. And people are so used to constantly being on call for that. And we have this strict policy that there's no WhatsApp groups, and that we use our work app, basically. We used to work with the workplace, but now we have Blink instead. And it's got so many different elements of benefits from it, of being able to have, like, you do not disturb schedule, to have all of these things in place. So the right to switch off and not having the WhatsApp group, all of those things is such a difference. And I also remember with parenting, we had flexible working rights from day one. I know that's now the legislation, but that was always the case, because if you need a flexible working pattern, you don't need that in 6 months. You need that when you need it. And I think sometimes it's really important to look at these policies and not be so rigid as to what you have to do, and just think about how can we make this better. When we're thinking about the culture, stuff like this, we survey everyone every year, love a survey, and this is to find out if it's working. And if it's not, when we then look at the actual numbers of asking people if this happened in fact, we have 95% of parents and carers agree that Hawksmoor is supportive. And you can also see that 87% see themselves still be here in 12 months, because that's the impact, people leaving. And the retention is such a massive part of having a successful business. And if we don't have that, we don't have a business at all. Because if you're continuously having people leave, you have a very high recruitment cost, you have a high training cost, that then sips into customer experience, and then goes down into the bottom line. So it all makes financial sense to care about all of these things. It's worth doing all those things, but it's also worth looking and seeing what's working and what's not.
And I guess an element of what's the cost of not doing some of that stuff is just as important as what's the benefit to doing it. Don't always want to go from a negative place at all, but I think playing out sometimes what's the impact if we don't do this can be really powerful. Kerry, is there anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I'm really glad Sophia mentions the business benefits, because this could come across as quite soft and fluffy. That's always the danger. And sometimes I think this stuff is dismissed as soft and fluffy. So you'll hear from us how much we care about this, and we do it because we care. But it also powered growth in the company. So when I joined, there were 150 people, 10 million turnover. Over 13 years, we grew it to 100 million turnover, 1,250 people. And in each of those years, Hawksmoor was named one of the top places to work in any industry in the UK. When we came out of COVID in a recruitment crisis, everyone was trying to desperately to recruit, particularly in hospitality. 50,000 people applied to work at Hawksmoor from a base of 600 jobs. So we took as we can, and we can. It's quite easy for me and Sophia to talk about the individual and the people side of it, but it powers the business. I believe 50,000 people applied. It's pretty unheard of because Hawksmoor looks like it welcomes everyone. People know that it welcomes everyone, so you feel that you would apply. And so it powers the business, that 51%, and the 51% of hospitality. But as Sophia said then, we're quite ninja on the 49% and on using data. So on using the data from things like best companies so that we know how people feel. And Sophia has an action plan that comes out of it with every restaurant and the three things and the ownership to make sure that it keeps improving. And something I'm most proud of is, so when I left last year, in our survey there, 97% of people at Hawksmoor said that Hawksmoor welcomed everyone, irrespective of their background and characteristics, and they felt they belonged. And that is the same by gender, it's the same by race and ethnicity. I know we're talking about parents today, but really it's about everyone, isn't it?
I'm still reeling from that 50,000 figure. You must still be recovering from that. I think this is a really lovely moment to pull everything together that we've talked about and just move on to our third point, which is that it needs to be protected. That could probably be the whole sentence based on everything that you shared. But is there anything that you want to elaborate on there? Sophia, I'll come to you first.
So one of the things that I care about the most is when it comes to the protecting of the culture. So I've worked a really long time in hospitality. And yes, we can talk about policy, we can talk about all these different things as well. If you're looking at staff, there's nearly 90% of all hospitality workers experience sexual harassment at one point. And 40%, this is from 2023 study, 40% of people in hospitality has experienced bullying disguised as banter. We're not the worst industry, by the way. I am super excited about that. We're number three. But when we're thinking about this culture and having people stay, there are things, it's flexibility, it's all of those things, it's the experience they have about work. Because when we're talking about an inclusive workplace, in the same survey that we did, 100% agree that caring about DIB and caring about everyone is super important. Everyone agrees that it's important. So why isn't it on the top agenda for most businesses? And so we have the training bit, we have the supporting bit, we have the policing bit as well. Because often people go through and they meet people in more senior positions who are getting away with behaviors that no one else would, because it's always been that way or something. I worked really hard on a zero tolerance policy. And the zero tolerance policy isn't just with staff and regardless of seniority, it's also with customers. Because incidents that happen is why a lot of people leave. And the support around that is really important. Try and help people create a toolkit on how to deal with harassment. Obviously, we have had legislation change from the Workers' Protection Act, Amendment of Equality Act 2010, Act of 2023, rules of the town now, which means that businesses are required to do work here. But we started doing this basically when I joined, because it's just an area that I care so much about. And it goes into like understanding consequences of unchecked behavior on a greater scale. And I know it's not necessarily directly with parents, but it creates a working environment. When we look at things such as casual misogynism and racism, transphobia, all of these things and the impact that have on people's everyday life, people will leave an industry for incidents like this because it has such a huge impact when something happens to you. And then equally, we have an industry that is based on that it's fun, it's exciting, it's all of those things. And banter, being quite a fundamental part of British culture, it exists in other cultures, definitely does. It's just the word itself, banter, origins from the UK, but you definitely see it elsewhere. Not as much in Sweden, where I'm from. We have a bit of more darkness and sarcasm. So getting that understanding of how we speak to one another is that you can connect banter into three different areas. You have friendly banter, which is wonderful. There is no intention to hurt. Everyone knows each other's limit. Everyone knows when to stop. It's also about that there's an equal status amongst the people who are doing it as well. And in terms of representation within my group. Then you have ignorant banter, which is what I call shit happens category. And that is when you unintentionally cross the line and you say something that is inappropriate. But the important thing is being able to, when you're confronted by it, reflect, say, I won't do that again, and it never happens again. And you can always come back from ignorant banter. Like, it's fine. You can come back from is malicious banter. And malicious banter is when you're hiding this bullying, the harassment, sexual harassment, which is rampant, unfortunately. And it's something we really want to stomp out, because the malicious banter is done in public. It's done to humiliate someone. It's done in public and it's brushed off. It often goes into racism and sexism and so on as well. And it's brushed off as a late joke. It's only banter, or my personal favorite, you can't say anything these days. So we make that expectation incredibly clear from day one. Everyone does like a 30-minute video training on what all of these things is. What is sexual harassment? What is harassment? Why isn't it okay? And all of those things are connected into how you feel and how safe you feel at work. And it's something I work with a lot. I work with outside of Boxmoor with a lot of wonderful restaurant groups and hotels and wine people. And it's really nice to see that people care. I also do all men workshops talking about the patriarchy's impact on women within hospitality and what they need to think about. And that is something that comes into policy, because it's all well and good having an HR department that sits and says, do this, do that. But unless you have people inputting on this, such as the survey, for example, but also listening to people, what it is that's important, doesn't matter. I kind of describe it as that everyone has a box of experiences. So I walk through life with the experience of being a white woman. And that is my box. That is my outlook on how I was brought up. And whatever has happened to me is based on that. How I'm being met in day-to-day conversations is based on what they see in me as well. And I think what we want people to understand is, when it comes to privilege, is that privilege is not having to think about it other than from your books. There's a pool close to where I live where they did, oh, we do a women's only night. I made things that sound so lovely and safe. And I went there and I realized there's a really big Muslim community that goes here on this night. And this is the only night of the week that these women can use the pool. I have never thought about that, because it's not something that is within my box. So I think the main thing that I want people to know is that the more privileged you are, the more responsibility you have to fill that box. You can't rely on minoritized group to tell your stories. You have to be the one who is responsible to understanding how to widen the content within your box.
Thank you so much. I think we could insert a mic drop there. There's so much to digest from what you said, but you've done it on such a practical level as well. And that kind of lived experience story will hit home for lots of us. And the conversation around privilege and how that links back to the culture that we are developing in our organisations is a huge thing to connect. Not that it should be complicated, but huge in the impact it can have. So thank you for bringing all that to life. And I know that you do so much work alongside your day job and family life and juggling a child and a dog and all that life throws at you. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from what you've just shared. Kerry, is there anything that you wanted to add there?
Just add how much Sophia is pioneering this and the contribution you're making, because you led so much of this work in Hawksmoor. As you say, you're great at giving advice and mentoring and actually getting in there and protecting it. Culture doesn't just happen and you just don't go, oh, that's okay, because it's a bit awkward to talk about it. And Sophia will go into kitchens full of men and women and have these conversations in a way where they are really positive about them. Isn't that amazing to go in and have this sort of conversation? You think you're being HR naggy and people will be so positive about it. But also you're going into other industries. So you're going in across hospitality and other industries, and you can get Sophia on video. And the mayor and making London safer and the nighttime economy safer. Lots of people don't think about it, and it affects people going out and it affects workers. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Sophia, before I say more, but...
Yes. So I sit on the London Mayor's Women's Night Safety Charter Steering Group. Another really easy thing that rolls off the tongue. And I sit there in the capacity of representing some of hospitality within the nighttime economy, which means about safety between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. It's been amazing working with the Women's Mind Safety Charter because they do such incredible things to change our cities, also being adopted in other cities. You can find it in Australia, you can find it in Norway, you can find it in Bristol, you can find it in Manchester, because it works. And it's probably one of the easiest things because it can feel overwhelming. When I go in and speak to other businesses, they feel overwhelmed with how much it is that you need to do. And some things are just so simple. It's like, you can join this. It is free. And you will have all of these resources. And it's great seeing and connecting with so many different people. And I think one of the things you probably see is the British Transport Police. They do the bystander intervention posters on the trains and everything like that. And whenever I talk about it, and I'm like, this is one part. Everyone knows that. Oh, great. Ask for Angela. Amazing. And it's just very nice to have been able to use all of those things at Hogsmore. So I set up a group at Hogsmore, a network where we have over 100 members and we meet and talk about what is it that we've missed, basically. Is there anything that we've missed? And people go in and they go, actually, we could do this. Why don't we have a policy on that? How do we look after pregnancy loss, fertility? How do we do all of those things? Endometriosis, what sort of support is in place there? How do we speak to men about understanding that when you have endometriosis and you need to take time off, it's completely different and it shouldn't be in any way disregarded. And oh, it's just menstrual pain. Oh, God. And there's a lot of men who comes into those conversations as well. It's how you find different things. But we found ADA. That's another thing I always recommend businesses to sign up to, which is Employers Initiative Against Domestic Abuse. And they do what I think most of these things should do. You become a member and you have free availability to all of their resources. At Hogsmore, we have charity added on to the bills that customers can opt in to add a pound to their bill, which goes to charity. And we're doing it with ADA now. On average, a month basis, about £20,000 for charity. And it makes a huge difference. And it's very little commitment from a business to go in and care about it as well. We also do the Kelly's Cause, but that's another whole nother podcast about mental health.
Which hopefully one day we can come back and revisit so many of the things that you've shared. But I'm conscious of everybody's time. And I know that we've dived around quite a few different things. Before we firmly close, Kerry, is there anything else? I'm going to copy Sophia's question there of what have we missed? What would you love to add?
Lovely question. I would just add on the culture needs protecting. Sophia, we talked about workplace culture. We talked about culture and hospitality. We talked about culture for women. We talked about nighttime economy, those things, and protecting that. And for me, protecting our culture more generally and socially. We don't live in tribes or extended families anymore. I think increasingly our workplace cultures or our workplace communities, there's very high retention at Hawksmoor, but it's true for a lot of people. And they're these spaces where people connect and build understanding and build community and culture. And what I'm seeing is that while there's increasing division, we're all seeing, we've never been as divided as we are now. Reducing empathy, I've seen reports on that. I've seen that as we go home and we connect with people increasingly through technology, it encourages us to reduce other people to data, to posts, or to look at how many likes we get, or to process people, to judge them. And workplaces are these spaces where we connect with people who are different. And that's really important. And that ripples out and creates community. And Sophia talked about diversity and how we do that. For me, culture is about values. We have shared values. They unite us, but we can express them differently. And certainly working between the UK and then taking culture to the US made me appreciate, really learn how much we are shaped by our regulatory and our social history. And we just don't realize it. It's the same language, but we're so different. One of the Hawksmore values is work hard and be nice to people. Work hard means something different in the UK and Europe than it does in the US. The US is the only major developed economy that doesn't have mandatory holiday. People just don't use holiday in the same way. And we're shaped by our regulatory environment. And here we use a lot. And it just gives us the ability to build understanding. This is what it means to me. What does it mean to you? And that's how we build connection. And for me, how we treat parents is how we treat kids. Parents' experience shapes their children's experience. And so how we think about including everyone in workplace culture, including people, including the knockout impacts on the kids, is how we're, one of the ways we're investing in the next generation is about the future. And we all have a stake in that economically and socially. And we are all connected. We're all connected economically. We're all connected socially. And it's good to be intentional about that. We all have an impact, particularly employers, on people's lives. We may as well make it a positive one.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a brilliant place for us to, I'm going to say pause, because I feel like there are conversations we might revisit here in the future, or not even revisit, just even be able to touch upon, because you shared so generously from a Hawksmoor perspective, and obviously you as individuals as well, which has been brilliant to be in the presence of. So thank you so much. I'm going to add a few different links to the show notes. So an article that you've written, Kerry, I think it was from last year now, but it touched on the research that you did with Strathclyde University, and it details in there a lot of the Hawksmoor values and how that plays out and all of the accolades and amazing things that I'm sure people can pick up from. So I'm going to link to that. I also want to put a link into everything that you're doing, Sophia, with lots of things that you mentioned. I will link Sophia's LinkedIn profile so that you can go and have a look and hear more about what she's doing, particularly as the founder of the Culture Bar and everything that links back to in the hospitality industry. But I'm sure we can all take some learnings from the work that they're doing there. I will also find a link to the ADA membership that she mentioned so that you've got easy access to that. And we'll have a very quick conflop after this recording to check if there's anything else that could be linked in here. I will also add a link to Kerry and the work that she's doing now that she's being able to sprinkle her magic across the hospitality industry, not just Hawksmoor. So you'll be able to go and find all of those immediate things that we've talked about after you've listened to us today. So thank you both so much for sharing your wisdom, your very practical expertise and lived experiences. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Power of the Parent, the podcast. If you have got a few spare minutes, who am I kidding? Of course you haven't got a few spare minutes, but if you would like to choose to spend a few of your minutes giving me any sort of review or rating, I would massively appreciate it. It does help other people find it, and it also lets me know that I'm hitting the spot with listeners. For more free resources, you can head to the show notes, where you'll find a link to the Power of the Parent website, or do head on over to LinkedIn and give me a follow. Search Charlotte Speak and my grinning face should pop up. Until next time, take care.